So what does ananyacheta mean? Without looking at your book, of course. So ananya means like unalloyed, without deviation, and cheta means the consciousness. No other. No other. Ananya. No other. No other thought on your mind but Krishna. Ananyacheta satatam. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. And the word for easy to obtain? Lava means? To gain something. So si means extra easy. Sulabha. Very easy to obtain. To get, to achieve. Sulabha. So how is Krishna sulabha? If you yomam smarati nityashah, then it's easy. If you just remember Krishna all the time without deviating your mind, then he's easy to attain. Nitya yuktasya yoginaha, that means, nitya means, or regularly. Sounds like a dispensation. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I'm easy to obtain, O Sanapritta, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. We're on page 379, first sentence, second sentence. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Where's that verse? Four kinds of people who seek after Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. You're saying it's in the? Yes, it is, in the seventh chapter. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. Arto jignasa artarti jnani cha bharatarshaba. So Krishna names four kinds of pious people. They have sukriti, so they come towards him when they are in need of wealth, when they're in distress, when they're inquisitive, when they're in knowledge of the Absolute. So, different processes of liberation have also been described. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananyacheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkama, which means that he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Verse? Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Taiva Shanti. Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Ashanta. Means that there's only one kind of person who actually has real peace. That's the devotee, because he doesn't have any desires. Everyone else wants something. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interest, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to obtain. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, like what, Srivats? Some of his forms. Yes? What else? Varaha? Who else? Very good. Two more? Yes. Who? Rama. Wow, you're sitting in the front row and you're listening. All right. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal forms. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations such as Rama and Nisringa. An devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but, as we have already explained, he is especially inclined towards those who always serve him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways, as stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad, Yam Evaisha, Vrinute Tena Labhyas Tashyaisha, Atma Vrivinute Tanun Swam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, the Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived, but a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words Satatam and Nityashaha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the bhakti yogis are engaged in five different ways. 1. Shanta bhakta, engage in devotional service and neutrality. 2. Dasya bhakta, engage in devotional service as servant. 3. Sakya bhakta, engage as friend. 4. Vatsalya bhakta, engage as parent. And 5. Madhurya bhakta, engage as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what about that blessing of the great process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Yes? It's easy? Okay, so what makes it, it's simple, right? But if it's not easy at some times, how come it's not easy? I mean, we see that it's a simple process and it's advertised. If you just chant Hare Krishna, well, just chant Hare Krishna. What's the problem? Why don't you just chant Hare Krishna? Huh? So Rakshit Prabhu is saying you have to chant without committing an offense. Why? Can you use the microphone?
That is one of the standards so far as chanting the Maha Mantra is concerned. It will also raise a question which I will ask following this discussion. But in the japa process, when we are chanting the mantra, it is said that one should be chanting without committing an offense. That is, chanting with one's mind fixed on Krishna, and if your mind wanders away, then you bring it back to Krishna. So there, the recommendation is that one should chant without offense in the japa process. That's the explanation. But I'll ask a question related to that. And that is that we see in these verses and other verses also where is emphasized that one should think about Krishna and remember Krishna. And it says all the time, 24 hours. So how is that possible. Well, the question is, wouldn't one be committing an offense there? Because one is also engaged in work, doing work, and you are attending to someone or something. You know that you should be fixing your mind on Krishna, thinking about him. But you would never be able to concentrate the way you do it in the japa process, where you are, of course, disciplined, and your intention is not to make an offense. But when you are not in the japa process and remembering Krishna and working, your intention is to remember him, but you may not remember him all the time because you may be distracted by work. So would one be committing an offense in that situation?
Well, I mean, one thing is that remembering Krishna is a natural process. It's not something unnatural. That, of course, in the beginning, when I'm not inclined to remember Krishna, which is unfortunate, and it's also a little ridiculous because Krishna is everything and everywhere. In other words, you know, Shastra is telling us that there's nothing but Krishna. Krishna is telling us that himself, that I'm everywhere. In the Bhagavad Gita, he gives these clues that I'm the taste in water. How can you miss me? You know, everyone drinks water. It's everywhere. You know, if you drink water and you remember Krishna, then you know, you remember him a lot, probably. And Prabhupada extended it to, you know, any kind of liquid. The sun, the moon, the seed, the fragrance of the earth. You know, it's all Krishna. And not only that, if I'm attuned to it, then everything's Krishna speaking to me through everything as well. Trinad api suni chena toro api sushna. These are, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mentioning the grass, the trees. If someone's attuned, he's thinking, you know, how the grass is reminding him to be humble, speaking to him. The tree is reminding him. In fact, all these different entities are listed as gurus, shiksha gurus, by the Avadhuta Brahman in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who is completely attuned to the fact that Krishna was everywhere, speaking to him at all times. He was completely open, and therefore, whatever he saw, whatever material element he saw, like a mountain, and then he was taking instruction as if being instructed by a guru. So it's not an unnatural process for one who is open to hear what Krishna is saying. And when it becomes more natural, then the state of affairs is that it's impossible to forget Krishna. And it probably gives an example. It's just when you have love for someone, then it's natural your mind always goes to that person, isn't it? Like your son or daughter, he gives an example that if you're separated from them for some time and you're very attached to them, and for instance, if you come home and you see their shoes on the porch and immediately you think, oh, you know, my daughter, my little daughter's in there, you know, your heart fills up, you know, because you saw the shoes. Your daughter's not in, you know, not the shoes, but connected, so that you'll remember and you'll have that feeling. So for those who have developed love for Krishna, they actually see and remember Krishna in everything. He's never lost to me, and nor am I ever lost to him, Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He's always remembering me in this way. In the beginning stages, when I'm not always thinking of Krishna, then it's a situation where, as mentioned here, regularly, that I regularly remember Krishna. You know, I have some program. The process of Vaidhi Bhakti means that although my mind isn't spontaneously attracted, it doesn't always remember Krishna. By performing these activities of Shravanam Kirtanam especially, that leads to Smaranam, or remembering. So every day there's a process to invoke this remembrance of Krishna through hearing and chanting. And after a while, I'll develop an attachment for it. And then it becomes natural. And Kunti Devi said it's kind of like the Ganges that's running towards the ocean. You can't stop it after a while. You know, it goes that direction. And Krishna recommends different ways in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, always think of me. It's a similar kind of verse. Think of me all the time and always be engaged in me. Then he says, if you can't do that, then engage in the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. Perform the rules and regulations where you'll come to that point. Then he says, if you can't do that, then you should give away the fruits of your work, money, or you know whatever the medium of exchange is, and give it to Krishna. That means, you know, give it to the devotees who are spreading Krishna consciousness, basically, how Prabhupada puts it. Now, how does that work? It works because what am I attached to? Krishna? No, I'm attached to money. So I identify with it. This is me. This is my life. So if I give that to Krishna, then my mind will go there. It'll follow that. And I'll remember Krishna. And then when I'm doing my work, there'll be a connection between what I'm doing and what I'm giving. Sukeshwari, use the microphone.
Yeah, sometimes I don't feel this all the time, but sometimes when you finish chanting 16 rounds, you just want to do more. You know, the days when you really do good chanting. Mm-hmm. I don't do it very often, but there are days when you feel like you want to do more rounds, you know, that you don't want to stop after 16. And I was thinking about the question that you were asking. I was thinking that, we shouldn't commit any offense, but I was thinking that, like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned about Trinadapi Sunichena, you know, always consider yourself to be lower than a, you know, blade of grass and, you know, the whole shloka. So that kind of helps you chant better.
To be humble.
Yes.
Yeah. And as far as, your question was something like, if you're doing your work during the day and you're chanting at the same time?
Thinking or remembering Krishna.
Thinking or remembering Krishna and you're doing your work, is that an offense? Something like that?
A different disciplined process than thinking about Krishna in your daily life.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam.
Yeah.
When you hear and chant properly, then naturally you will remember Krishna. It's not an artificial process or an imposition of the mind to force one's mind to remember Krishna, although that's not a bad idea. I mean, you can try it. But naturally, when you hear about something, you'll remember it. And when you hear about Krishna, you get extra assistance from Krishna from within your heart to remember him. So it becomes a natural process. Sunny, you were going to say?
Somewhere in there, I was reading, and the scripture saying, the knowledge within the body, which is the Kshetra Jnani, is also I am, that Bhagavan saying, that he is the Kshetra Jnani within you. So when I read that things, whoever we met, people outside the house, or people inside the house, or in the, you know, wherever the workplace you go, or even the people in the safe way, talking to you, there is a Kshetra Jnani within them, and that is also Bhagavan. Am I right?
That is also
the Lord, right?
Yeah, he's the super knower. There's the Kshetra, the Kshetra-gya, and then there's the knower of both. Krishna's in everyone's heart, you're saying, and he knows. When you meet somebody, we should also see that Krishna's in their heart. Yes.
I have another question that this is when we are surrendering to the lotus feet, how do we know that we are 100% surrendered in there? Or is there any way we can measure that I am already there?
Well, that's why you approach a spiritual master, because, you know, with the Bhagavatam's passive agent, and you can read about surrender, you can hear of it, but then if you have a guru, the guru is actually an active agent and can get on your case and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're not surrendered, or you should do more like this or that. And therefore, you can have clear guidance from Guru Sadhu Shastra. There's, and, you know, you'll know from that. Prabhupada gave instructions all the time to his disciples about different things. One devotee was traveling. He was one of the managers of the movement, like a GBC. And Prabhupada wanted his devotees to check in at different times, and he hadn't checked in for a long time. So he came to see Prabhupada in Mayapur, and he came in and offered obeisances, and Prabhupada said, a rolling stone gathers no moss. And this devotee was thinking, he realized Prabhupada wasn't exactly pleased with him because he hadn't checked in, and he was just traveling all over the place without taking some instruction. And then Prabhupada told him, he said he wanted him to stick to one place and preach and develop something. And he said, I think you should go to Sri Lanka. And this devotee said, but Prabhupada, Sri Lanka, it's just a small place. And, this, and Prabhupada said, everyone has Krishna consciousness there already. And he said, but Prabhupada, Sri Lanka's this, it's that. And Prabhupada said, okay, you can go to Sri Lanka or Pakistan. Take your pick. I said, Sri Lanka. I'm going to Sri Lanka. And he did. He went to Sri Lanka. But that was an example of a guru-disciple relationship where the guru detected something in his disciple and saw that he was not, he was being whimsical and brought him in and helped him like that. So ideally, we should be under the care of a Vaishnav. We should be in a situation where we have superior instruction to help us. This is very much needed and wanted because without that, I can read the Shastra and make my own interpretation and I can flounder. So therefore the verse, Nrideham Adyam Sulabham Sadulabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karnadara, means that you have to have a captain on the ship to take shelter of, someone to guide you. And, you have a Diksha Guru, you have many Shiksha Guru. You can have many Shiksha Gurus. You can have those, who are instructing you. You take shelter there where you can get good instruction. When you become very, very advanced, then your intelligence becomes your Shiksha Guru. But even for very advanced devotees, they take instruction. Krishna took instruction. from his ministers, it's the proper spiritual way to do things. Even materially, that's how people do things. They take help. So we can know how surrendered we are by asking superior authority, and we can also, that's a very good way to understand and be in advanced company. When we're in advanced company, then very quickly we become reformed just by being in that atmosphere. It's a refined atmosphere. When you're around devotees that are more serious than you are, then you'll feel it. You'll feel the gravity of the situation, the gravity of a devotee who's 100% engaged, ananyacheta satatam. If I'm not ananyacheta, if I get around somebody who is ananyacheta, then I'll feel it. I'll notice it. And we gain from that. Therefore, we have this sangha. We have this kind of association where we come together and get the association of devotees. Individually, we don't make advancement like that. If we stay off by ourselves, or if even worse, we have bad association, then very quickly we'll become retrograde in our devotional service. When we have good association, then we quickly become advanced. You were going to say? Yes.
I was just going to say at one point, Prabhupada said, Bhagavatam you can close any time, but if you come close to Guru, he can kick you. So the advantages of being close to Guru.
Yeah. Sharanagati, the process of surrender. And, it's a specific process laid out as defined by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He gave us this whole understanding of Sharanagati, what it is. Accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable, always seeing Krishna as my maintainer. That's quite a meditation. We have responsibilities, we have bills to pay, so so many things, to protect myself, to protect my body and the bodies of, all my offspring in this world. How is it, what's my meditation of how Krishna is actually maintaining me? Because, I'm thinking, well, maybe, but, it's a hard-won realization to come to this point, understanding how Krishna is only maintaining me and nobody else. But this is surrender to come to this point. And that Krishna is my protector. No one can protect me but Krishna. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nashingha nartasya chagana mudanmati majitonyo taptasya tatpratividir yaihanchasheshtas tavabibod tanurvitam anupekshitanam. Prahlad Maharaj said to Lord Nrsingadev in his prayers that analyze the world and see. He said, parents can't actually protect their children. They do the best job they can, but ultimately what can you do? Hooray! At least we'll get the last 5 minutes, right? I used to think that with my parents when they were elderly, they both passed away in the last couple of years, they were elderly and I'd go to visit them sometimes, and I remember one time they had this kind of thing, the attic, where they'd pull this ladder down, the creaky ladder, and to get up in the attic to get stuff out. And I remember my mom was like in her late 80s, and she was climbing up this ladder, and I was going, no, don't go up there. What are you doing? Let me do it. And then on the way home, I was thinking, they do this all the time when I'm not here. She's lived 89 years without me saying anything or you know, protecting her. And all kinds of living entities go through life. They're being protected by Krishna in different ways. So Krishna is our protector. And we should also always be meek and humble. This is another aspect of surrender to Krishna. Favorable, unfavorable, that Krishna is our maintainer, that we're never independent, always dependent on Krishna. So it's a process. And when you come closer to Shastra and Guru, then you know you can observe how you're surrendered or not surrendered. And you can observe yourself also. How are you behind closed doors? When you're in association, you may act one way, and maybe you act the same way, you know, when no one else is looking, but Krishna's watching. Am I become conscious that Krishna's always there? Am I completely, you know, do I follow sadachar, correct behavior all the time? If I am, I'm surrendering, and I'm, because I'm remembering Krishna is within my heart. He's watching me. I'm developing a connection with him, pleasing him. Anyway, everyone should be under the protection of a Vaishnava, superior Vaishnava. Then you have clear understanding. Then you check in. Even if you see Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to you, then you should go to your guru and say, this, you know, person came to me. Is this the one you were telling me about? He should confirm all these things. This is the proper way to move in spiritual life. 7 minutes. Any last questions?
Regarding
yes.
Question or his inquiry about the remembering Krishna while you are working. There was a story in the Puranas. Naradji once went to Krishna and asked him, who is your most favorite person? And Krishna sent Naradji to a farmer in a farm. He said, go there and have a look at this farmer. He is my most favorite person. And Naradji went, and he observed him throughout the day. Naradji observed that farmer throughout the day. As soon as he used to get up, he used to pray to the Lord that I'm starting my day, I'm working throughout the day for you. Then he used to do all his work. In the middle of the day, when it was his lunchtime, he used to again pray to God, I worked so far for you, now I'm taking your prasad. Again, he used to work. And then at night, before going to bed, he used to pray, I have worked throughout the day, I offer all my activities of the day unto your feet. And Naradji came back to Krishna and he said, I observed him, he only remembered you 3 times in the day. How come he is so favorite of yours? Then Krishna gave Naradji a pot full of water to the brim. And he said, you take this pot and you do a parikrama to this temple. Okay, Naraji took the pot, did the parikrama to the temple. Krishna asked him, how many times did you remember my name? Naraji said, never even once. He said, so while you were engaged in all that activity, your aim was to not to let that one drop fall down. So you were completely absorbed in that activity. You didn't remember me. But that person who was absorbed in his activity, and he still remembered me 3 times, so he's my most favorite person.
Acha.
Yeah, very good example and analogy. And it clarifies things quite a bit. And I was reminded also about Prabhupada's purport in another verse, which is in 8.8.7, if we may just for the sake of clarification, where Prabhupada is saying that, that this instruction that Krishna has given in this verse, where he said, Arjun, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Now the purport really clarifies what is meant by here, because every time I read this verse, I have this question of how can you do both? And the purport says, this is very important instruction of Krishna for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagement. So that's the act of doing. One should do. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is making the distinction between doing an activity, but the mind is thinking of Krishna and remembering him. So I think that's the same thing about the farmer. He's grading the soil, but he may be singing Hare Krishna. And he may be, that way he's remembering Krishna, and he may be even doing it more than 3 times a day. He probably is doing it all the time in his work. One doesn't know.
And when you say something, I'm doing it for you, it keeps going in your mind that I'm doing this for Krishna, I'm doing this for Krishna. When you say it, it goes in your mind. So that carries out, that continues further.
And it does help if you are doing it for Krishna too. This reminds us also that there's a, in the last verse of the Guruvashtakam, we sing at Brahma Muhurta time every day, Dhyayam stuvam stasya yasas trisandhyam vande guru shri charanaravindam, which says, at the 3 sandhyas during the day, I should remember my spiritual master. This is quite practically done when one has the Brahminical initiation, because within the mantras that we chant on the sacred thread, there's a mantra of remembrance of the spiritual master. But it's a kind of a lifestyle also. You know, when you have to stop 3 times a day to say your Gayatri mantra, it sort of slows you down, because the pace of life nowadays is sort of like, what do you mean stop? For 5 minutes? I can't do that. I got a project due. So when you actually do have that and you stop 3 times a day during your work and you say your Gayatri mantras and you remember Krishna in that way, that's also very potent. So working is not an obstacle. This is one of the points of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's engaging Arjuna in fighting, and it's an extreme circumstance, and he's remembering Krishna at the same time as well. So we should certainly do that, you know, throughout our lives at every opportunity. Really, all the rules and regulations of the Shastra are servants of 2 principles, and those are to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Rupa Goswami gave Yena Tena Prakarena, that one way or another, fix one's mind on Krishna. One way or another. Because there may be various ways to do that according to our lifestyle and the way we're living and such. We have to innovate and take help from the spiritual master also to mold our life in such a way that we remember Krishna throughout the day, according to, it's customized actually, Everyone has different circumstances, and there are different ways to remember Krishna. Okay, any other realizations from the day? Everyone worked today? Did you work? Did you remember Krishna? We were just talking about this, about working and remembering Krishna at the same time. Because we read this verse, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityashaha Tasyaham Sulabha Parta Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. That Krishna says, if someone remembers me all the time, Ananya Cheta Satatam, that I'm easy to attain. Sulabha. So then we were talking about remembering Krishna and how do you do that when you're working and things like that.
I did remember Krishna, but not throughout the day. I took some break for chanting, and in meanwhile working also, I remembered a little bit, but not like in the same vein as being talked about here.
Well, we also discussed, like in this verse, it's mentioned regularly. So there's a sense, also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives in the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, with the, you know, we should remember Krishna 24 hours, like that there's this sense of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, which means always engage in Krishna's service. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also gives this sense of regularly means at least once a day. And this systematic process of having a spiritual program every day, like every morning before we go to work, and having numerical strength through chanting a certain number of rounds and things like that, chanting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. These practices, over time, they give us... it's a natural practice. It reawakens our ability to remember Krishna. And we get accustomed to it and we get a taste. Sukeshwari Mataji, when she was in here, mentioned that sometimes when she's chanting and she gets to the end of 16 rounds, she thinks, I don't want to stop. That's a good sign. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends Bhaktivinoda Upadesh Ekbar Nam Rashe Matore, that try to get that kind of taste from chanting the holy name of the Lord, because then your life's successful. Human life is meant for getting ruchi, for spiritual topics and for hearing the name of the Lord. That's the main purpose. And so whatever contribution we do on a regular basis every day, it contributes to that process and the ability throughout a lifetime, then we become practiced in it and accustomed to remembering Krishna. In a more natural setting, in a culture that's oriented around Krishna, Prabhupada speaks about how people used to work all day long and then they would come together and then they'd watch a play or something like that, you know. And they, you know, the Ramayana or the Mahabharata, and then they remember. And it's just sort of part of the day. In some parts, like when you're in the Dham, it's pretty hard to forget Krishna. You can remember Krishna all day long. So we don't live in the Dham. But when you do live in the Dham, you know, everyone in Vrindavan says Radhe. Everywhere you go, Radhe, up, down, and then the rickshaw wallers, when they want to get you out of the way, they say Radhe, Radhe, you know. So it's Radhe, Radhe all day long and all day, you know, and during Kartik all night long too. You hear everyone out there chanting the names of Krishna, and everywhere you go, there's reminders of Krishna. There's 5,000 temples at least in that small area of Vrindavan, so it's easy to remember Krishna when you're in the holy Dham. But it's a lot harder when you're in the West and there's not that many things. In fact, everything's sort of retrograde and different vibration and can be a cause of distraction. But if we have regular hearing and chanting of Krishna, then even those things with Hare Krishna that are normally distracting can also remind us of Krishna. As an example, I mean, just like if we're studying, one Sri Upanishad sold, Hare Krishna, congratulations. If we, there's a billboard along the 101 freeway that I noticed quite frequently that said, it's a company that presents virtual events. And it said, virtual events create real demand. And every time I saw that, I always thought, Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangaste Shupajayate. The sense from the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, there's a way that virtually, you know, in a virtual way, we desire, it's sort of in a virtual setting. I see something in it and I desire it. So I make a connection with it in my mind and I think that's mine, I should enjoy it. I can't actually enjoy it ultimately, or if I do, it's temporary. But because I think of it and I connect with it through my desire, then it'll create a situation. It'll go from subtle to gross. And so when I saw that billboard, I thought of that verse. And there are, you know, other situations throughout our regular daily life when we see things. Ted Kennedy died. I saw it in the newspaper when I was walking down the street. He died yesterday, I guess. And I just saw it on the... it was on the headlines, so I couldn't avoid it. Ted Kennedy's dead. Ted Kennedy dies. And then what do you think of when Ted Kennedy dies? I mean, what does your mind go to in the Shastra? Huh? And I was thinking one thing I thought, a natural result of seeing that was that, well, he died, and I'm thinking, oh, well, he died, I won't die. And that Yudhishthira Maharaj, when questioned by Yamaraj about death, said, what's the most amazing thing? And he said, the most amazing thing is that everyone's dying all the time around me, and I'm thinking I won't die. Or it's way off in the future, so far off that I really don't have to think about it too much. But actually, it could be at any time. And that verse came to my mind when I saw that Ted Kennedy died. So it's not that anything in the world is disconnected from Krishna. And if we're regularly hearing and chanting, then we'll make those connections. In fact, I was thinking that a very interesting class would be to bring in a newspaper and go through it. Because everything's ultimately connected to Krishna. And just look at every article and think, like, what's the connection here? And, you know, through some discussion, I'm sure we'd connect everything. Every single... thing that comes up, you know, you think of a way to connect it to Krishna. Michael Jackson, when I made a deposit at the bank and there was a newspaper sitting on the counter in front of me, and it said Michael Jackson had died. I know he died last month or something, but it resurfaced because they figured out that he died from some drug overdose or something like that. So how would you connect that to Krishna? Michael Jackson. Okay, there you go. He's not the controller that anyone can die in. You know, for instance, you could have, Prabhupada gives this example. He said he's seen very rich people. And when they're dying, they say, you know, I'll pay you a crore of rupees if you just give me one more year because I'm not finished with my project yet. And does that help normally? Pancreatic cancer or something like that? Here's $1 million. Can you help? No. When your time's up, you just have to go. So that's one way to think about it. Okay, so he spent a lot of money or time anyway on cosmetic adjustments, let's say, and it didn't help prevent death. Okay, that's another way. What, anything else, Michael Jackson?
He says using of the drugs.
Yes.
Something that he shouldn't do that. You
okay,
know, so
four regulator principles, avoid taking intoxication. It's dangerous.
Dangerous.
There's one devotee I know who is living in Vrindavan. And, you know, he was coming back to the West after some time, and he stopped in Thailand, and his old habits came back, you know, old habit, and he took some drug there, and he died. I mean, you know, so it's very dangerous. Avoid... The material world's dangerous as it is, but if we get involved with intoxication and other types of things, it's even more dangerous. Anything else, Michael Jackson?
The other thing is inevitability of death. The Shastra says birth, death, old age, and disease are unavoidable, inevitable for a living entity. When you think of Kennedy and also Michael Jackson, very accomplished people in their own fields, but all those accomplishments and all ongoing work ended there.
Okay, there it is. So, way to connect. Also, we sold Michael Jackson a book in the Los Angeles airport. he bought a Bhagavad Gita. Think of him in that way too. There's always a way to connect everything to Krishna because everything is connected to Krishna. So we, if we're purifying our intelligence, our mind and intelligence by regularly hearing and chanting every day, then we should be able to see the world in such a way, not be affected by it. It's not that we put blinders on or stop our work, but we integrate everything, right? Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanu pashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatuna vijugupsate. That's the sense of these two verses. One who sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. He has a sense that it's all connected to Krishna. It's not abhorrent either, necessarily, because he's seeing it's a natural course. It's taking its place. So Krishna consciousness is not isolated to a temple, and we don't also have to put blinders on, but we have to become conscious of Krishna. And Krishna is everything and everywhere in all circumstances, in the material energy, in the spiritual energy, he's there. So to remember Krishna, ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. This is the best kind of yoga, is to remember Krishna always in all circumstances without any failure. And if we develop love for Krishna, then it's a natural thing also. But even as we're developing love for Krishna, as we, if we're thoughtful and we remember Krishna systematically, that's what the verse says in the Shri Upanishad, one who systematically sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. And how is that? The word anupashyati. Anu means to follow in the footsteps of other great acharyas and of the Shastra, to follow that as one's life's direction and see like that. Like I just heard a conversation where Prabhupada was talking about life on other planets. And one of the devotees was playing the opposite side and was saying, but we can't see any life on other planets. And Prabhupada said, look up at the sky. Do you see any stars? It was obviously in the morning or daytime. He said, no, I don't see any stars. He said, what good are your eyes? There's stars all over the place, but you can't see them right now. Under various circumstances, your eyes are useless. And the extensions of those eyes through, scientific experiments and things like that, they're also faulty. Therefore, Shastra Chakshus, one should see through the eye of Shastra, and therefore, then you can see properly and have perfect knowledge in that way. Otherwise, we'll be misguided.
I think in case of Michael Jackson, something else came up, I think he felt the need of spirituality. He took shelter of Islam, I guess, a few months ago only. So, definitely he had some Sukruti, and that's why he was so rich. But if you see the final end, his stomach was having few tablets. So, that's a contradiction for rich versus poor. So, I was just thinking that now, like Prabhupada also says, like if you earn 1 lakh rupees, still you will eat 2 chapati. And if you earn 10 lakhs rupees, still you will earn, you will eat 2 chapati only. So, Ugra Karma is always dangerous and it will take away from Krishna. So, we always try to strike the balance and we can see everywhere whoever is out of balance doesn't have a good spiritual future by any means.
Thank you.